Why don't you open your Bibles to John chapter 17, verse 3, as we look at the verse that you were meditating on a little bit earlier. It's always difficult sometimes to figure out exactly what passage of Scripture or what message to bring, because you only have one opportunity many times to address students. And I do thank Dr. Anderson for the several times that I've had the opportunity to come to the school and be able to bring to you fellows the Word of God. Verse 3 of chapter 17, I think, is one of the most eye-opening verses in the entire Scripture. We have a tendency in our day and age to focus our attention on salvation, and so we should. But sometimes in our churches, that's where our concentration begins, and that's where our concentration ends, is with the idea of salvation. So we end up with people in our churches that aren't really growing in the Lord. Jesus says here in John chapter 17, verse 3, he gives the definition of what life eternal is, or what everlasting life is all about. He says very simply, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Knowing God is the most important thing that you're ever going to learn in your life. And as you go off into your life, whether you're in ministry, full-time ministry, or just full-time Christian living, you're always going to be building on that aspect. Jesus says that eternal life is having an intimate, living relationship with me. So while you're here at school, I would advise you simply to become a well and receive all that you can. Because we have it, at least I did when I was here, the idea that once I get out into the real world, I have plenty of time to do all the things that I want to do to build up my faith. Unfortunately, that's not true. You get busy with life, and you get busy with ministry. And many times ministry is difficult. And for you to survive full-time Christian living or full-time Christian service, you have to have that intimate relationship with Christ. First and foremost, that's everything. Living forever, going to heaven, those are wonderful things, but they're fringe benefits of knowing Jesus Christ. You see, when we accept Christ as our Savior, that opens up a brand new world to us, because now we have the opportunity to be able to come into the realm of the Living One, the Creator of all things, that we can now have a living relationship with Him. And that should be exciting to everybody. I mean, it should be exciting when people come to church, or when people gather together for prayer or for Bible study, people should be absolutely overwhelmed by the fact that they can have a relationship with God. But I'm seeing, at least in the ministry that I've had over the years, many people just don't have that desire, that overwhelming presence of God in their life. I hope that you have that. The Apostle Paul had it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul says, the biggest thing of my life, the greatest area of my life, is to know Jesus Christ and His resurrection power. But not just His resurrection power, but to know His sufferings. Because to know Christ's sufferings is to know Christ better. That's the desire that all of us should have as God's people today. If I could give you any words of advice from my life, it is that, to foster this deep-seated relationship with Christ, because this relationship is everything. It's that relationship that's going to carry you through the difficult areas of your life, and they are coming. Whether it's personal or whether it's ministry-related, you are going to hit those areas and times in your life when you are absolutely overwhelmed with no place to turn. But for those of us that have fostered through our life that intimacy with Jesus, we always have a place to turn. Because Jesus is always there. And He's made His promises. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But this is the key, guys, and you have to get this. We can quote promise after promise after promise from the Scriptures. But these promises have to be real for you. And that's why you have to cultivate this relationship with Jesus Christ. It's one thing to walk through the motions of having a relationship. It's another thing, really, to have that type of relationship where Jesus would say, you know, my meat is to do the will of my Father. His whole life revolved around doing the will of His Father. Should not our life revolve around doing the will of God as well? That's why we live. That's why we breathe. And so what I'd like to do here this morning is to bring you some of the promises that God gives to us as servants of God. Because in order to be the type of servant that God wants you to be, you have to know Him. The more you know Him, the more you're going to have a desire, an earning to go out and to worship Him, to serve Him, to love Him. But it comes down to that aspect of knowing who He is. So my text for today is in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, if you turn your Bibles there. This is a verse that's very simple. It's just a textual message that we can look at because I think this verse speaks volumes in our relationship with God. God's promises must be real. I can say it over and over and over again, but when you have those situations in your life that are overwhelming, that's when you'll know whether His promises are real to you. And in order for those promises to be real to you, you have to have that intimate relationship with the Creator of all things, because He desires to have that with you. Verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." There's many times in my life that I find myself being afraid. And I love this verse because the first thing that says is, "Fear thou not." And I know over 300 times you find in the Scriptures this idea of stop being afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid. Why? Because we're His servants. We're His children. He loves me. He loved me so much that He sent His Son, God, transcended from eternity into time for me, to go to the cross for me, to give His life for me. God loves me. The Creator of all things, who holds everything together, loves me and loves you. And He says, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. You know, in order to stop being afraid, you have to really know who God is. You have to know who He is. And so let me give you some promises, first of all, that I think we need to work on through our whole life, not just here at Bible college, but things that we should take with us all the time, that we teach to our children, that they can teach to their children, and on until the Lord calls us into His presence. The first one, you can write these down if you like, is the promise of His presence. Fear thou not. How can I walk through this world and not be afraid? Because I know that my God walks with me, because He's made the promise. I will never leave you, Tim Dillon. I will never forsake you, but I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world. God has made me that promise, and I have to claim it. Stop being afraid. There's many things in my life that I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the future. Sometimes I'm afraid of people. You guys sometimes are afraid of exams and papers because you waited till the last minute to study or to do them. Been there, done that. But God tells you, stop being afraid. Why? Because God's presence is a very powerful presence. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." When I accepted Christ as my Savior, God gave to me His Spirit. He abides within me. And through that Spirit, I am drawn to God into that intimate relationship. And if I really know who God is and His power is there upon me, I will have no fear. Because what's greater than God? Is anybody greater than God? Is anything greater than God? Can anything break the promises of God? No. I have His presence with me constantly. And His presence is very powerful. No matter what comes into my life, I know that my God is more powerful and my God is there with me. You can claim that. And so I can go through life with no fear. No fear. God said it before Nike said it, that we have to be a people who are fearless. And when you go into the missions world, which, whether it's here in America or whether it's abroad somewhere else, our world today is becoming a very unsafe place from what it used to be. There's going to be times that you might be required to give your life. We don't think of that much today. But then again, when I accepted Christ, I gave Him my life. It belongs to Him already. And so as a servant of God, I go through this world simply obeying what He wants me to do and having no fear, because His presence is very powerful in my life. Not only is the promise of His presence there, it's also personal. It says, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. I am with thee. The great I am, the God of the Old Testament, the God who promised to love me into the end of the earth. I am with thee. A personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you really have that type of relationship with God? Do you really know God intimately like that? How do you have that type of intimate relationship? Well, you spend time in the Word of God. You spend time reading the Scriptures. I'm amazed at my church. Sometimes I talk about reading the Bible. Can you imagine that? How important it is to have that time that you set apart to study the Scriptures. And I've had people over the years come to me and say, all you talk about is reading the Bible. Duh. Is that a no-brainer? It's a no-brainer for us, I would hope. But you know, for a lot of folks in this world, that's a new concept. It's a novel concept. You will know God through the Word of God. The more you dissect it, the more you meditate upon it, the more that you make it part of your life, the stronger His presence becomes in your life, and the more power you have to serve Him. You need Jesus. And you must remember that He has made you a personal promise that I will be with you. And that's what He said in Matthew 28, wasn't it? We go into all the world and preach the gospel, and I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Love those things. Claim those promises for yourself. And then lastly, His presence is perpetual. It's perpetual. It goes on and on and on. You know, there's times in my life when I have a bad day at church or things aren't going well at the school, and you just get overwhelmed with things, whether it's finances or whether it's people. It's good to know that sometimes my mind, when it gets off of God, it's good to know that my God hasn't gotten His mind off of me. He thinks about me. He cares about me. And so this verse, as it begins, it says, fear thou not. Tim Dillon, stop being afraid, for I am with thee. I just love that. He's always with me. His presence is always there. And that's a promise. And that's the first promise that we have from this verse. Can you claim that promise for your life? Is it that real to you? Is Christ that real to you? Well, right now, you would be willing to give your life for Him. Because as a Christian, you have already given your life to Him. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's one thing to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'll serve you. It's another thing to live it in a practical sense. And you can do that as long as you allow His promises to become real. And there's no greater one than the fact of His presence. The second promise kind of goes with the first one a little bit, the promise of His person. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. There's a relationship here, isn't there? He is my God, a personal God. We talk about having a personal Savior. People say, if I was the only person on the face of the earth, Jesus would have come and died on the cross for me. I have a personal Savior. Is it wrong to be, you know, claim Him for myself and only for myself? I don't think so. Personal Savior. I am thy God. My God, His presence is with me always. You know, to be able to get through these areas where you start having, you know, the idea of fear, you have to begin to understand who God is. It's hard to be a servant of God unless you really know who He is. You think about who God is, the God that we serve, the God who says, I am your God. Who is this God? The Bible says that He's the creator of all things. He spoke and it became. God says that I am your God. He holds the planets together. He holds the molecules of your body together. When you go outside at night and you look at the universe, it's so immense. We can't even begin to fathom the distances between stars. We start measuring in light years, on and on. We can't even begin to imagine the distance that's involved in that. But in Isaiah chapter 40, it says that God can measure them in the span of His hand. You know, span is about 9 inches, give or take, best I can understand from looking it up. And the Bible says that God measured out the universe in the span of His hand. What an awesome thought. that the God who says to stop being afraid because I'm with thee, I am your God, is the creator of all things. He's greater than the universe. He's greater than anything. He's greater than anybody or anything that's going to ever come into your life. You need to claim Him as your God. You need to claim Him as your protector. And you need to claim all the power that He possesses. He claims to have all the power. You know why He can claim that? Because He does possess all the power. He is God Almighty. And this God Almighty loved you so much that He gave His Son for you, that He would come to this earth and bear your sins, that you could have an intimate, personal relationship with Him. That's eternal life. It's not living forever. It's not going to our home in heaven. Those are all fringe benefits. Jesus Christ came in order for you and I to be able to have a personal relationship with the Almighty God. And that's a promise. It's a reality. Not only is it a relationship, it's a reality. He goes on to say in this verse, don't be dismayed. Don't be dismayed. That means to look around kind of excitedly, unknowing what to do. Do you trust God? I mean, it's one thing to say, I trust God. It's another thing really to trust God. That's a difficult thing for you to comprehend right now. It's a difficult thing for me sometimes to comprehend until you go through it and you begin to live it. But there's a reality to God. Sometimes when you go to a Bible college, it simply is a book. You know, we go and we learn about a book and a God in a book, and it's not that real to us. And it just becomes part of our academic lessons. I'm here to tell you today that this book is a real book. Of course it is. But it's from a real God who wants you to know Him through this book. So the most important thing that you possess right now in your life is the book that's sitting on your lap. The Word of God, because it's this Word that makes God a reality. When He says, I am thy God, it's one thing to say, oh, I worship this or I worship that. It's another thing to really know who your God is. And you will know Him intimately through the Word of God. And as you know Him, you're going to be able to talk to Him. I mentioned a moment ago that many people in our churches today don't seem really to have much of a personal relationship with the living God. They don't spend a lot of time with the Bible. But what I'm finding more often is that very few people spend much time praying. Our prayer services on Wednesday night, and most of the pastors that I know, are sparsely attended. People just don't come on Wednesday night to pray. Why? Because it's not all that important to them. If people don't pray on Wednesday, let me tell you, they're probably not praying during the other 6 days of the week. But when we find ourselves praying constantly, as Paul said, pray always, we do that because God is real to us. If you find yourself not praying very often, or if you find yourself not reading the Scriptures very often, you're missing the reality of God in your life. He's not real to you. But if you really understand who He is as your God, the Creator of all things, wants to have that intimate relationship with you, that He's real, you'll find yourself desiring this book, hungering for this book. You will find yourself always praying to God, talking to God, establishing that relationship, because it is the most important thing of your life. That's the key to Christian living, is to understand His promises and make them real to you. And so we have the promise of His person. There's a relationship, there's a reality, and then also ultimately the realization that He is my God. He's my God. And I don't hesitate to say there's times that I simply claim Him for me. Because there's sometimes I need God all to myself. I need that quiet place to go to, away from everything and everybody. And even though I'm away from everything and everybody, I know that there's one who's there with me. He's quieting my heart, focusing my attention on His person, and helping me through those difficult times. And you're going to have those difficult times. They're going to come. Years ago, I talked to my pastor's wife, and also, I actually would be my pastor's parents, I guess, who I talked to. And I said, you know, God has always opened doors for me. I used to be a detective for a police department. I went to college on a full track and field scholarship. God opened up all these doors. And I kept wondering, why me? Because I see people struggling all the time, but I never struggled. Why me? And I remember what she says to this day. She says, Tim, The time will come when you'll find out. And she was right. Things may be going swimmingly right now, but there's coming a time in your life when the floor might drop off from underneath you. And those are the occasions that you're going to have to claim something, that you're going to have to cultivate before that day. And that's the promise of His presence and the power and the presence of the promise of His person. Would you say today that you truly know God? Would you say today that He is the most important thing in your life? Jesus Christ is more important than anything that you possess. Mom, dad, husband, wife that's coming in the future. Whatever it happens to be, Jesus is everything. He's the hub that your life has to revolve around. So I've given you two promises, His presence and His person. Let me give you the last, and that's His power. Because there's times in my life when I feel absolutely at wit's end. I don't know what to do. I'm not happy with me. I'm not happy with the church. I'm not happy with my wife. I'm not happy with Patrick. I'm just not happy. I don't like not to be happy. I like that. I like to always have a good time, don't I, Tori? Yeah. But sometimes I just get to that point where I just feel like I can't go on. There's been times that I've been called to preach and I just don't really feel like getting up there to do it. Pastors always jump up to preach. They're ready to go. Yeah, that's how it looks sometimes on the outside. But they're digging down deep sometimes because they're doing their duty. And sometimes they do it out of delight and sometimes they do it by drudgery because they've allowed the outside world to begin to rob them of their joy. And they've allowed the outside world to begin to rob them of their relationship with Christ. Everybody goes through it. But when you feel it coming into your life, that's when you have to claim these promises again, that God is real in my life and He has power to help me. It says here in verse 10, "For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee." What? It's a great thing. If the God of the universe who can measure everything in the span of His hand, this God tells me, Tim, don't worry about anything. When the time comes, I'll give you the strength that you need. I will strengthen thee. That's a promise that I claim. That's a promise that you'll have to claim. But you can only claim it when you know Him. That it's a real promise because He's a real person to you. You have to know Him. You have to desire Him. And I'm just telling you today, it just crushes my heart as I look around and I see people today in our churches who don't really have this deep, abiding relationship with Christ. I'm a weak vessel. I'm no different than you folks are. I like to say I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I think that's a cop-out sometimes. I'm a saint. I'm a holy one. God expects me to live that way. So I'm saying I'm a sinner saved by grace is sometimes a way I can continue in my sin perhaps, and it's all right, but no, I'm a saint. God expects me to be holy. God will take this weak vessel, and God will strengthen this vessel in order for me to accomplish whatever He desires for me to do. And all He desires for me to do is to serve Him and love Him. And if I love Him, the natural outgoing from that is I will serve Him. And so this idea of having this intimate relationship with God affects your love and your service for Him. How much do you love God? How much do you study the Bible? How much do you love God? How much do you pray? How often do you find that little quiet spot, simply talk to your love, your God, who loved you so much that He gave you the greatest gift He could possibly give, His Son, that His Son would come into the world and give His life for you so that you could come and live with Him forever and have that intimate relationship. He will strengthen us. You have to claim that. Not only will He strengthen us, the Bible says that He's going to support us. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's going to support us. I think in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. God has made His promises. Unfortunately, sometimes our whole thinking is involved in the material world. This is everything. How I function, this is everything. This is nothing. This is where I work in the world. But I'm not of this world. I've been born again. I have become a child of God. I serve my Lord, and He's real to me. I desire Him more than anything else, and He's going to support me. The sheep worry about nothing because the shepherd is there to take care of them. The Lord is my shepherd. Present tense, absolute. You have to know Jesus as your God. So we have the promise of His power and His strength and His support. And then the last one is He's going to sustain us. Look at verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. I love that. I'm His servant. He chose me. And He'll never cast me away. Isn't that exciting? I'm kept by the power of God. I'm immortal till God's finished with me. What are you doing for God right now in your life? Well, some of you are just out of high school for a year, maybe two. The future is beginning to unfold of what ministry God may have you to do. Maybe your future wife or future husband. You have to understand that God's relationship to you is everything. He will give you the strength that you need. He will sustain you in all that He desires you to do, because this life isn't who you marry. It's who you serve. It's who you serve and how you serve Him. And how you serve Him comes right down to one fact, how much you love Him. And He loved you so much. He loved you so much. And so the question I would just like to ask you here this morning is this: how much do you love God? Are you truly having that intimate relationship with Him? We have the promise of His presence, His person, and His power. Do you claim those? And do you exercise those in your life? Just because you're young doesn't mean that you can't have an impact for Christ. I tell the students at our school that all the time. You know, they're the future church. They're not the future church. They are the church. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you can't be involved in this relationship. It begins when you're young, because if you don't cultivate it now, you're not going to cultivate it later. Satan will rob that from you. And in doing so, he's going to rob you of your service to God. So today, be counted as a servant of God and serve Him out of love and claim His promises. And you'll claim those promises when you understand how real He really is, because then it transforms your life. Life eternal, Jesus said, is knowing the true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Claim those promises. And that's by experience. Paul says that I might know Him, that I might experience Him. And you experience Him by loving Him in this life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for all that You've given to us today. We thank You for the opportunity that we've had simply to gather here to look at Your Word and to look at some really simple concepts. Simple, yes, but life-changing indeed. And Father God, we just thank You so much that we can understand that we serve a living God who's the creator of all things. We can know Him in an intimate way. And God, we can do that because You have desired us to have that type of relationship. Father God, I pray for these students that You might touch them with this thought, that they might have that desire, that hunger for You all of their life, more than anything else, to become true servants of the true God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.